It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me this morning. Hopefully I have a show that you will find to be interesting and enjoyable. I'm going to start off with obviously what's been in the news all week, the last 10 days, flooding. But really what I mentioned this last week, what's not in the news is necessarily the impact on wildlife. And it is going to be, I mentioned last week, this is really, really tough on animals. Mild winters, open winters are really good for quail, upland birds, pheasants, turkeys, deer. Everything thrives with a mild winter. But when you have a mild winter with perhaps the worst flooding in history throughout much of the Midwest, it is not good news. And there is going to be a substantial loss in bird populations in particular this year. Deer will be impacted as well because they use the riparian corridors, which is often where the very best habitat is along our river bottoms in the winter for cover and for feed. And, of course, they've been chased out of that, and now they are relegated to the wide open spaces. They're much more susceptible to predation by coyotes. And also they don't have their food sources as much. So there was a picture from a helicopter the other day of a herd of deer running down a broken levee in southern Illinois down near Olive Branch. And the picture was, and deer can swim, by the way. They can swim a long way. But the picture was of them running down this levee, and, of course, at the other end of the levee it had been breached, and so there was a torrent of current that they faced. And turning back, the levee had been breached, so they essentially were on an island of a levee that was going to be submerged, and the deer eventually, this was not on the from the helicopter footage, but eventually the deer would get into the river and swim. But there's going to be an enormous dislocation of animals, and that will have an impact on certainly the breeding season this year, and then as well next fall on all the hunting seasons. But that brings me to something in Illinois, and other states are wrestling with the same situation, particularly Wisconsin. And that is a profound drop in the deer populations. The auto insurance industry thinks that's just wonderful. We're going to have fewer deer on the roads, and that means fewer accidents, and that means fewer people will be hurt, and sometimes even, of course, there's a fatality with hitting an animal, which is absolutely awful. But it also means that there aren't as many deer to be harvested by hunters, and that means the revenues that drive much of the Department of Natural Resources will decline. And Illinois is seeing a very heated debate now between deer hunters and the Department of Natural Resources. And it's gotten to the point where it's time for people almost, if you were a kid, you would say, time out, you get a time out. It's reached that point now in Illinois where hunters are so infuriated with the Department of Natural Resources and the deer management program in the Department of Natural Resources, that they feel that they are not being heard, that the deer herd in Illinois is definitely on the decline. Some counties, some of the trophy hunting counties in Illinois, Pike County and Boone County and those areas, they feel in Calhoun, they feel it has really been devastated. And I know a number of landowners, some from out of state, who purchased properties because of the incredible deer populations 10, 15 years ago, and today they have very, very small numbers compared to what they had. And so we're in a situation where property values are being impacted. Whether or not deer have been over-harvested is an open question. But we're in a situation where the Department of Natural Resources is coming under real fire to do something about this. And on the other side, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you have the insurance industry, which frankly would like no deer around because of damages from deer, not only to crops, but to automobile accidents. And you have, of course, the Illinois Farm Bureau, which by and large doesn't think much of deer because deer eat crops and therefore cause economic damage. But on the flip side, you have this enormous windfall in hunter revenues and people coming to the state of Illinois to hunt deer. And so we are going to have to, in the coming months, begin to address this. It simmered for a long time, and under the previous administration, it probably would have continued to simmer. But when actually not simmer, it's boiling over. But in this administration, Governor Bruce Rauner cares passionately about hunting in Illinois, and the director of the Department of Natural Resources, Wayne Rosenthal, is himself an avid hunter. So we have some ability to at least gain the attention of those who are charged with managing the resources to do something about this. But I would expect in the coming months that there is going to be quite a bit written and said about the deer situation in Illinois. And, of course, we've got chronic wasting disease up in the northeastern and northern part of the state from what was an overpopulation. But in the key hunting areas of Illinois, deer herds have been reduced. The question is, how much have they been reduced, and is this a population level that is acceptable, or is it one that needs to grow? So that will be the discussion in Illinois. They certainly have had it. Those of you listening in Wisconsin are well aware of this. Deer populations, which have been on an upward climb for the better part of 60 years, probably peaked in the early 2000s, are now declining. And this is true in Pennsylvania, it's true in Illinois, it's true in Wisconsin, it's true in Michigan, Minnesota, and that is causing a whole new discussion about what's an appropriate deer herd level to support a very, very profitable deer hunting industry. So there'll be more on that in the coming months as a number of states wrestle with it, but in Illinois, it's a flashpoint. Speaking of sort of flashpoints, it's pretty hard to have even been around in the past week without the discussion about guns and gun legislation. And as you know, I never in this show take a position. This is not a show about guns. It's a show about the outdoors and conservation interests. But it does strike me that when you have an entire industry, and frankly a large part of the population, focused on an issue that something needs to happen. And as all of you know, I'm a fervent believer in our rights to hunt and our rights to bear arms. And I think that in Illinois we have a situation where we also are going to have to address, and this is not about the Chicago gun violence and the just absolutely unbelievable numbers of shootings in Chicago. That has nothing to do with any kind of sporting or hunting gun regulations. So New Jersey, not a state you would expect to take a lead necessarily on firearms discussions, New Jersey put together a commission by Governor Christie called the Firearms Purchase and Permitting Study Commission. Firearms Purchase and Permitting Study Commission. And I was thinking, you know, I'm sure many of us think, gosh, we have enough commissions and we have enough studies. But in Illinois, the gun laws that we have put together in this state were cobbled together over time, and really, in many cases, are nonsensical or punitive. It makes felons out of absolutely law-abiding citizens, one of them being the transportation of firearms. If you have your shotgun or rifle and you're hunting in the back seat of your car and your ammunition is next to it and they both can be accessed in a quote-unquote single motion, then you have broken the law in Illinois for transporting firearms and you're a felon. So think about that for a second, all of you who love to hunt or who go to the range to shoot trap or skeet or go to a range to shoot handguns or go to a range to shoot rifles. How often have you had your ammunition, your gun properly cased, and your ammunition in your car, but been in violation of this Illinois terminology of within a single reach, so single motion of reach? So in other words, if you drive a Suburban, you have to have your cased gun in the back seat, perhaps, or in the far back, and you have to have your shotgun shells or rifle shells in the front seat, or vice versa, but they can't be together. And we, of course, in Illinois, we have the Firearms Owners Identification Card. We are the only state in the country to have one. The penalties for not complying with the Firearms Owners Identification Law for transporting or even possessing a firearm without one, again, you're a felon. Certainly that's not stopping anyone in the inner city of Chicago because none of them have FOID cards, but it is a huge burden on the sporting community of Illinois, men and women who want to go shoot, whether shooting clays or targets or birds or deer. This FOID card system that we have is not even administered by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. It's administered by the state police. It's viewed as a revenue source. So I'm thinking about what New Jersey just did, and knowing of Governor Rauner's interest in hunting and the shooting sports, I'm wondering if Illinois would not benefit from actually setting up a commission to study responsible firearms laws in the state of Illinois, so that the people who hunt and use firearms for sporting purposes are not entwined in this whole violent situation. There should be some way that Illinois can come up with common sense gun laws that enable law-abiding citizens to transport firearms and to possess firearms in a way that does not impinge upon their ability to go hunting and to do the shooting sports and to participate in shooting sports. That is, I'm sure, much, much easier said than done because of all the various interests. But we put together in Illinois a series of gun laws that have no... They were done over time, and they were done in a haphazard manner, and they were done in an emotional way, and they were, some of them are radical. We don't have any, we've never had an overview of what have we created in this cobweb of laws that we have over firearms in the state of Illinois, and how does that impact law-abiding citizens, and how does that impact people who want to go hunting and enjoy the shooting sports? So perhaps New Jersey, which is not often thought of as a state that leads the country in this area, perhaps they're putting together a commission to come up with a set of recommendations can be followed here in Illinois and elsewhere that have really conflicting gun laws, and maybe we can come up with something that both addresses the violence that's taking place, but also permits law-abiding citizens to not only possess firearms, but to use them in a lawful way for hunting and target shooting. So we'll see what happens with the New Jersey Commission and Governor Rauner. If you're listening this morning, maybe Illinois can follow suit and we could have an Illinois commission that would further the outdoor heritage of the state and enable people to enjoy the shooting sports in Illinois. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. I'm going to talk a little bit about rhinoceros, the rhinos in South Africa. Very interesting story developing there on poaching. And also one that just makes your stomach just turn. And then I also want to talk a little bit about fishing access in Chicago and a little more about what I talked about last week with volunteerism. Thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's a winter wonderland, and it's your playground if you have the right equipment. Well, the 2015 Chevy Silverado is the key to a winter full of activity. With 12,000 pounds of towing capacity, Silverado can tow your snowmobiles anywhere you want to go. Hunting, ice fishing, Silverado gets 24 miles per gallon on the highway. And if you're hunting for a new truck, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer. They have leasing experts who can get you more Chevy for less money with a big fixed lease. Chevy Silverado is the first and only pickup to offer 4G LTE Wi-Fi that keeps you connected on the go. It's the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road, and that makes it the best choice you can make for off the road. Throw in a 2-year, 24,000 mile free schedule maintenance, and you've got yourself an all-American camping partnership made in heaven. Ask about the big fix lease at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. Track it down, and oh, by the way, there's no limit.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I'm going to, before I talk about the rhinoceros situation in South Africa, I do want to jump to the current event of what's taking place in Oregon with the sit-in on the National Wildlife Refuge. Oregon's a long way from Illinois and from where we're sitting here, and we don't really have big national wildlife refuges, and we certainly don't have a sagebrush rebellion. But I think it's indicative of something I've been talking about for quite a while, and that is the mismanagement of our national wildlife refuges from the federal government's perspective, which has taken a point of view that they are not managing the National Wildlife Refuges the way they once did. They're taking a much more laissez-faire, hands-off, let nature just take its role place. And in Oregon, it's about, obviously, private property rights and use of public lands. But in the rest of the country, everybody you talk to who uses our National Wildlife Refuges says they are in disrepair. And all you have to do is drive around and look at a few of Illinois' National Wildlife Refuges to know that. We have stopped managing the National Wildlife Refuges for the purposes for which they were purchased, which was largely, by the way, migratory waterfowl. And now we're managing them for multi-species, and we're managing them for threatened species. But I hate to say it, that's not why they were purchased. Those National Wildlife Refuges were largely purchased with conservation funds to be managed for the enhancement of wildlife, particularly waterfowl. So what's going on in Oregon is a simmering issue over federal lands. Not only the lack of management of federal lands, but also the overreach of the federal government in how it is governing the use of federal lands. And after all, these lands belong to us. So the Oregon situation can be tied to what's going on in Mississippi and what's going on in Arkansas and what's going on in other areas of the country where people are frankly just sort of fed up with seeing these natural resources diminished. In Oregon, it's about access and property rights as well as about mismanagement. But all this ties together into what in 2016, I think in an election year, is going to be a very powerful issue. And that is, how is the federal government managing its lands? And the overreach, at least in the western states, the Sagebrush Rebellion is very much alive and gaining speed, and if you will, it's on fire. So Oregon is a prelude to what might be happening elsewhere in the country in the political debate this year about the role of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior in federal lands. And in Illinois, we sit here with the lowest percentage of federal lands, or among the lowest percentage of federal lands of any state in the country. So we may think, it's not really relevant to us. But it's very relevant to us, because the wildlife that depend on the National Wildlife Refuge System and the federal lands pass through Illinois if they're birds, and certainly we depend on them when we go out west or we go elsewhere, we go to the Smokies. All of this is tied together in what is a national discussion on how our federal lands can be managed. Oregon right now just happens to be in the front page because, frankly, there's anarchy going on. And I'm certainly not advocating anarchy. I'm advocating that we're going to have quite a discussion. I did want to talk about rhinoceroses and what's going on in South Africa, but I guess we'll save that for next Sunday morning. All I can tell you is the number of rhinoceros killed last year in South Africa was down from the previous year, but it's still such a shocking level, it curdles your stomach. I don't want to curdle your stomach as I sign off, so have a great week in the great outdoors. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.